Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 25th. Here's how our guest this hour started a recent piece we found on the website commondreams.org. Dear Mr. President, I saw a clip of your news conference the other night, and I'm concerned about you. Your hairline is receding, your face is wan and getting more wrinkled. You couldn't stop giggling when you talked about World War III. Is the job getting to you? Are you not sleeping at night? I think you may have 9/11 fatigue. 9/11 fatigue creeps up on you when you least expect it, and it occupies every minute of your day. You start to see boogeymen around each corner and tense yourself even when you're trying to relax. You lie awake at night looking for ways to protect yourself from those who would harm you, because, of course, you never know whom to trust. Worse yet, you spend endless hours trying to persuade others to join you in fighting an ever-elusive enemy. Does President Bush suffer from 9/11 fatigue? Do you? What's your prescription? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, please use 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest this hour says the president should spend some time in nature, or better yet, resign. But she doesn't expect that will happen. She is Olga Bonfiglio, a professor of education at Kalamazoo College in Michigan. She's the author of Heroes of a Different Stripe, How One Town Responded to the War in Iraq. And she has written for several national magazines on the subjects of social justice and religion. And she is the author of the piece on commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue. And she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So you believe all of us are suffering from 9/11 fatigue to some extent, aren't you?
I do. I think we're all worn out.
And this is because of the war on terrorism as pushed by the Bush administration?
Yes.
Yeah.
It comes with every policy, every discussion, every low poll, 9/11 comes back up.
Yeah. Why do you think that is?
Because it sells. Americans are very fearful. And this is one way of rallying around the president and around the fear that 9/11 will happen again.
Yeah. It's not helping those poll numbers too much, though, is it?
No. That is the amazing thing. He's down to about 25% now. I think he went up from 24% last week. So it's interesting, and I think a lot of people are just getting tired of it. The other thing is that 70% of the Americans polled are now against the war. So I think that it's not working as it has been in the past.
Yeah. Well, I know you wrote this as satire, and you really
Yep.
aren't so concerned about the president's hairline and his wrinkles as you are about the efforts that have made us less safe. You think we're less safe since 9/11?
That's hard to tell. How do you measure that? We know that when we go to the airport, we have to have quart-sized bags, 3-ounce bottles of liquids, take our shoes off, be screened, and now they're looking at some greater X-ray machines that do even more. The body scan and so on. We know that, but our ports remain as open as they were before 9/11. So that's where things are happening. Yeah. I think we're focused on the airplanes.
Yeah. Well, should the president not be worried about these sorts of things? And don't you view terrorism as a threat?
Not as much as I view poverty that created the terrorism or the United States having empire-type thoughts over other countries, and the Middle East has decided to strike back.
Mm-hmm. You recommend in the piece that the president spend more time in nature, because you actually do this with a class that you have
Yes.
in Kalamazoo?
I have some first-year students this year, and... Our theme is to slow down and notice things. And in that way, we can be more in touch with ourselves. It's a writing class, and it's an excuse to talk about all of the professors. We have about 25 that teach a first-year class, and we can choose any subject we like as long as it remains in it's a writing class. So I chose this leisure class, slowing down at seeing the world at 3 miles an hour, which means to walk, instead of to rely on cars, cell phones, all sorts of technology to actually distract us from ourselves. And nature is a good way to immerse yourself and to notice things.
We could do a whole hour on that class.
Yeah, well, it's fascinating. The students have responded very, very well to it.
Mm-hmm. But you think that if the president would take a nature walk, things would be better?
Well, the purpose of a nature walk is to notice things, and I think what he doesn't do is notice what's going on. He doesn't seem to notice his polls. He doesn't seem to notice that the United States has a bad reputation because of his policies, his bullying, and so that might be a help.
We are talking this hour with Olga Bonfiglio, a professor of education at Kalamazoo College, talking about a piece that she authored that's posted on the website commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue, where she, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, worries that the president is suffering from 9/11 fatigue and that he needs to give it a rest for all of our sakes. What do you say? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you have a prescription for 9/11 fatigue? Do you take a break from it? Do you have a recommendation or a suggestion for President Bush? Should he give it a rest and concentrate on something else during his last year in office? I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, October the 25th. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 5, the Wisconsin Policy Research Institute issued a report on school choice yesterday. After 5, Ben and his guest will discuss the conservative think tank's findings on school choice. That's after 5. We are talking about whether President Bush is suffering from 9/11 fatigue, or whether all of us are to some extent, and what we should do about it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And let's go to the phones. Tim is with us first. And Tim, where are you calling from?
Tibbetts, small town down by Elkhorn.
Okay, good morning.
Well, I'm certainly not an apologist for the Bush administration's actions. I do have a little bit of an issue sometimes with the tone of your guest and some people like her who seem to think that all the world's problems are the United States' fault. Like, we're the bad guys, and let's remember we live in this free country. The one comment especially that I would take issue with is that a lot of the world's problems are based on poverty. Well, I'm certainly not making light of that. Let's remember what she said, the terrorist problems were based on poverty. Well, Osama bin Laden's a millionaire, so the driving force behind the terrorist action of 9/11, well, it may have some roots in poverty. It's religious-based, and the guy that's kind of the forefront of that is a millionaire. So, let's not just beat up on the United States. And I hear that sometimes out of, professors and people of, the elitist college mentality, and it kind of rubs me the wrong way because I don't think we should always be, picking on ourselves. We try to do things properly here in the United States, too.
Professor Bonfiglio.
Well, the assumption is that the U.S. is the good guy all the time, and we have to recall that we are empire, and we are just like the Roman Empire. This is a word that Chalmers Johnson, another professor in California, is talking about. And when you are in empire, you tend to beat up and bully other people. We certainly have done that. The idea that religion provoked this, well, yeah, in a certain sense it did, as far as Karen Armstrong, the professor and writer at, of England, talks about Khattab, who at the turn of the 20th century talked about this, what we would now call Islamofascism, where we would go and beat up on people that were immoral. Well, we have this kind of immorality idea in Christianity and Judaism and in Islam, and so I'm not sure that religion is the idea behind it. Some people will say that the Muslims are a terror group, that they like to beat up on other people. Well, you know, what have we done? And I think that by looking at the assuming that the United States is always the guy that wears the white hats, is not seeing what we have done, what havoc we have wrought. I've done a lot of traveling in Latin America, for example, and we have really caused a lot of havoc down there with the idea that we should have, that the bananas are ours, the coffee, the cocoa. And we're doing the same thing with the oil in the Middle East. So,
thanks, Tim, for the call. Dennis in Sister Bay is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I have a recommendation. As you talk, Professor, it reminds me of a book that I read in graduate school by Eric Fromm called Man Against Himself. And I think your course speaks volumes to what Fromm wrote about years ago. The basic premise of his book was that as we've become increasingly industrialized and urbanized, man has become detached and disaffected from nature, his origins in effect. And that has created a host of problems, such as ills, disease, and social disorganization. So my recommendation to all the readers is that they read that book, Man Against Himself, because it is a real seminal and important work. Not that we're going to go back to the farm, but it's a real good book for thought.
All right. What do you think of that recommendation, Professor?
Very, very good. I think we... I have not read that book. I'm going to put that on my reading list. This disconnection from nature, that we are apart from nature, is something that I have to remind myself as well as my students, that we have to think of ourselves as a part of nature, and that part of, I think, the disconnection is that we think we can control nature with our machines, with our technology, with our science. In fact, we are becoming victims of it, I think.
Dennis, thanks for the call. Robert in Chicago. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I like that last caller's idea because it kind of touched on a little bit what y'all were talking about first. But I think with the president, he's worried about actually losing what we have. But I think overall that whole problem is I think we're just afraid of each other.
Why are we afraid of each other?
Oh, because, you know, maybe one guy's got something or can do something more with what he's got, and instead of trying to use what he has to help somebody, he uses it to do the other way. But I think what would be a good thing to do for the president, I think he needs to get back in touch with a common man. You know, see what all the laws and everything else has done to the common man, and how it affects him, to how long he has to stand in line at the airport, or it just starts there and work it down.
The president needs to get in touch with the common man, Professor Bonfiglio.
Well, that would be helpful, but I think it would be difficult for him because since he's never experienced that. If you remember, his own father during an economic downturn went to the store and bought some socks, then discovered that there were the machines,
the scanners,
the checkout scanners, right? But it's not only the president. The elites have really taken over in Congress. Most of the people that are there are very rich people. It was an oddity for Franklin Delano Roosevelt to have come from that kind of background, and I'm not saying that they shouldn't come from that background, but I'm saying that he got in touch with the common man because he had polio, and he discovered what it was like to be broken. And then when he was down in Georgia, he met the common man, people so unlike himself, who were poorer and so on. So, yeah, I think it would be nice for the president to get in touch with the common man. I think he's incapable of it.
Yeah, what do you think the president should be doing, seriously, rather than thinking about the terrorists all the time?
Well, I think health care is the main issue for Americans. Obviously, ending the war is a main issue as well. He's not going to do it because he does not believe in reversing his decisions. But health care, the jobs that have been lost to the global economy. I'm from Michigan. Well, we're all from that mm-hmm. industrial car-making industry, and we've lost jobs, hundreds of thousands of jobs. Those kinds of things would be helpful. Obviously, the environment is another thing. Global warming. Now they're even saying that the fires in California are a cause of global warming, as well as U.S. forestry practices, where we let the underbrush collect and then become combustible for fires. So those kinds of things we need to be thinking about.
Yeah. What about the president has tried to do other domestic issues and not just concentrate on the war on terrorism and like it or not, like immigration reform, but he's not having any success.
No, and not sure why that is. Maybe because the war just he has more control over the war. Because he is the president, he's the commander in chief. So, especially when things get rough, he then trots out the war, he trots out the patriotism, he trots out the war on terror.
We're talking with Olga Bonfiglio. She's a professor of education at Kalamazoo College in Michigan. She's the author of the book Heroes of a Different Stripe: How One Town Responded to the War in Iraq. And we are talking to her about her piece that was posted on commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue, in which she says she fears President Bush suffers from 9/11 fatigue, in that he, quote, sees boogeymen around each corner, and that he tries to spend endless hours trying to persuade others to join him in fighting an ever-elusive enemy. She says President Bush needs to take a break and forget about the terrorists for a while and do something else. Give it a rest, she says, for all of our sakes. Concentrate on some other domestic issues. Take a walk in nature. Take a break from the terrorism thought. What do you think? What questions do you have? Maybe you have a prescription for 9/11 fatigue. 1-800-642-1234. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to The Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 6:36 on this Thursday, October the 25th. We are talking with Olga Bonfiglio, a professor of education at Kalamazoo College, author of Heroes of a Different Stripe, How One Town Responded to the War in Iraq. She's written for several national magazines on the subjects of social justice and religion, and she's the author of a piece on commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue, in which she says she believes President Bush is suffering from 9/11 fatigue. And that he should take a break from thinking about terrorism and take a walk in nature. Or, she says, better yet, think about resigning, as she writes in her piece, then you could spare your health and the health of the nations. As the decider of the free world, you just don't seem to have that fastball anymore to tackle such major league problems as global warming, massive migration, overpopulation, disease, hunger, oppression, and social injustice. You've carried the ball thus far in the difficult post-11 era, and I thank you, but I must say, things seem to have gotten worse in the world. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Do you agree with our guest or not? Do you think that President Bush should take a break from terrorism and concentrate on something else? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Robert in Eau Claire is with us next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with a guest, and I think that, yes, we are all suffering from 9/11 fatigue, including the president, but I think some of us are living in denial with the very real threat that exists and pretending it doesn't exist or it's minimal. And yes, we could all benefit from walking in the woods or communing with nature, and we all should do that. We have to sometimes give our minds a rest, but that doesn't change the fact that we're dealing with something that's a very real threat and a very something that we need to be vigilant with. And it's not surprising that the president's poll numbers are low, considering the fact that all the major news networks and NPR. There's a constant bashing of the United States and the president. So it's not a very fair situation or a fair statement when you're citing polls like that.
Thank you very much, Robert. Are you in denial, Professor Bonfiglio?
No. Terrorism is a problem. I would not deny that. In fact, that's why we got caught with 9/11, is that we were not paying attention, and there were several senators that were trying to get the United States to look at it. But we thought we were safe because we had two oceans, and we have been safe. But I think the real threat is the oil. The depletion of oil. That's why we care about the Middle East. We have been importing Middle East oil since we are peaked in our own oil in 1973 or so. And so that's why we started importing oil from the Middle East, and that's why we got tied up with the Middle East in the first place. The other thing that I'd like to say is that I think the reason why the polls have turned against the president is, as Scott Ritter says, is that Americans like to win, and we are not. It does not appear that we are winning the war, and so that's what has soured us on that war. So, you know, I think we need to look at it more than good guys, bad guys. It's what are some of the implications? What are some of the assumptions that are going around? On how we see ourselves in the world, what we do with our resources. Those are some things that we need to look at.
Next we go to Bill in Lancaster. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I believe President Bush, to help get over this 9/11 fatigue, first of all, needs to get out of that state of denial and start living in the real world. And you can tell he's not living in reality by everything else that's going on around him. He refuses to deal with the immigration law. He refuses to deal with jobs going overseas. And he's just so focused on what happened back in 9/11 and to make sure it doesn't happen again that he's lost sight of everything else.
Professor Bonfiglio?
Well, I'd agree. I think that's the problem. The other thing is that the Congress seems to be going along with all of this. And the basic problem is that they do not want to look unpatriotic by not giving him the funds that he needs or that he asks for in fighting the war, because it's all tied together with support the troops. And that started at the very beginning of the war, before the war. There were signs that were out, support President Bush and the troops. So there was that that connection that was made. So I just think we need to look at what are all of the elements that are going on in this, and how are we being overrun and with or saturated with 9/11 kinds of threats, and then forgetting to focus on other problems.
Next, we go to Randy in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I agree in large part with what your guest is saying. I think she's being somewhat too kind to the president by saying he should simply resign, though. I think at the minimum he deserves impeachment, and I think at best case he deserves to be let loose on the streets of Baghdad alone. I'm not kidding with that. I disagree soundly with the caller, two callers previous to this. There is no conspiracy against the president. You travel anywhere out of this country, anywhere, and they think Bush is a madman, and they think we're crazy for electing him a second time.
Mm-hmm. Professor?
Well, I guess one of the reasons why I put in my article that Bush should consider resigning was because I just am beside myself that the Congress has not seen fit to impeach him. And so I thought, well, let's try another way. Let's just ask him to resign. Let's just have him relax and you know, walk in nature. That was the kind of the spoof on
yeah.
it all.
Yeah, you say in your piece, though, you certainly don't expect him to resign. You say that he's too concerned about his legacy for that.
Well, yes. But more importantly, I'm concerned that the Congress has taken impeachment off the table. And at first, you know, I thought Nancy Pelosi was trying to be cooperative and say, you know, let's not waggle that in front of the president. But I think as he is now talking, and Vice President Cheney is now talking about Iran and all of this, World War III, which actually provoked the mm-hmm. article when he started talking about that, I thought, no. We have got to do something here. And I am now in favor of impeachment.
Glenn in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
How are you this morning? Thank you for taking my call. And I'd like to say I agree with the speaker, and my concerns are George Bush has, the President George Bush, let me clarify, has not addressed any of the problems that are local in our country until the last year of his presidency, and he doesn't really have any platform or any issues that he can take care of because he's not really dealing with any sincerity. Does your caller agree or disagree?
I agree with you. Local problems, but what's interesting, he has not taken care of local problems. But I think that this is one interesting thing that's happening, is that a lot of local people are seeing that the federal government will not take care of local problems, and that they are taking on some things themselves, including finding energy in this age of oil depletion. There are several cities that have become sanctuaries for immigrants. California, and there are some other states, are taking on health care because the federal government is not going to do that. The local food movement is another thing where people are, especially this past summer with the tainted food from China and other places, that where they are promoting locally grown food so that they know how it's grown, what's in it. So I think that there are some hopeful things here, even as the president ignores the local level.
We're talking with a guest who says President Bush is suffering from 9/11 fatigue, and actually all of us are to some extent, with the war in Iraq, a possible war with Iran, and this overall war on terror weighing heavily on our minds all the time. She says we need a break, and President Bush should take a break from it too. She says the president should spend some time out in nature. Forget about the terrorists for a while. Or better yet, she says maybe the president should think about resigning for the sake of his own health or the health of the nation. We are talking about what to do about 9/11 fatigue. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock. Coming up after 7,
President Bush is headed to Southern California today to get a firsthand look at the damage caused by the wildfires. And we will talk about the federal government's response to the crisis in California and wonder if it's any better since Katrina. That's coming up after 7. Right now, our guest is talking with us about her thoughts about 9/11 fatigue and wondering if you need to take a break from the news of terrorism and wars and what recommendations you might have for President Bush, if any, on things he should do besides worrying about the terrorist. Our guest is Olga Bonfiglio, a professor of education at Kalamazoo College. She's the author of a piece that has been posted on commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue. She's also the author of the book Heroes of a Different Stripe, How One Town Responded to the War in Iraq. 1-800-642-1234, our number if you have a prescription for 9/11 fatigue. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Nick in Prairie Farm is next. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just say that the Bush bashing is constant, and I guess you never hear any good about anything we're doing over there or anything we're doing here. Local governments are supposed to take care of local governments, not the federal government, taking care of local stuff. And then her statement about having tainted food from China and promoting that we grow it locally so you know what's in it. Well, what happened in California with the fields of lettuce out there and the Taco Bells and blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. Well,
I guess I never hear anybody that bashes Bush having a solution except to impeach him. Well, who takes over then? Who's got the answer after that? Because if you impeach him and impeach Vice President Cheney, you have the Congress left to deal, and their poll numbers are even lower than the president. But that's never mentioned, that they're not doing their job either. Yeah. Everybody's about their own power. This country is founded on people standing up for themselves and doing for themselves and not relying on the government. The government is not to be relied on as the source of income, a source of
right,
they should be relied on as protection.
Yeah, Nick, I'd also like, I mean, you say the Bush bashing is relentless. What tell us why you think President Bush is getting a bad rap, or why you think he's doing a good job, maybe.
I don't agree with everything the man does, and I don't think anybody can agree with what everybody does. But he is the commander-in-chief. He is the president of the United States, the greatest country in the world. I swear anybody else would want to live once they live in the United States. If we have a problem with immigration, illegal aliens are coming across the border, why are they coming here? If we are so bad, if we are such a terrible country, why do they enter our country to want to be here, to be part of this?
Yeah. All right. We're kind of losing you on the cell phone, Nick. Your thoughts in general, Professor, on this is just a lot of Bush bashing and maybe unfair Bush bashing.
Well, I just think back to the Clinton era, and he was elected, and the next day after the election, Senator Dole started bashing Clinton. So we have endured almost 16 years of bashing of the president, and I think that is also part of the fatigue. That's even wider than 9/11 fatigue. I think it's leadership fatigue. And my biggest concern, is that I can't think of a leader that I want to lead. I can't think of anybody who I think is capable of bringing our country together. Al Gore, maybe, but, you know, I don't really want him in as president because, although I would vote for him in a minute now, and I did vote for him back in 2000, but I want to save him for handling the environment, global warming. Because if he becomes president, then he has to deal with all these other issues, and the first thing on his plate would be the war. But my major concern is that we do not have leadership that we can look to, that we can trust, who can get us out of this, bring us together, and have us really tackle the problems that are really on our plate.
Josh in Kenosha is with us now. Hi, Josh.
Hey, I just want to make a comment. Back before the break, you guys were talking about how with the war and everything, federal government hasn't really had a chance to focus on local government. And I kind of think, you know, I'm not happy with the situation completely either. And I certainly don't agree with the Bush bashing. Not that he's the greatest guy, but, you know, he is the president, and we have to respect that. But I think it's great that local government's stepping up, and I think that that's really the, you know, it's... That's what it needs to do. Thomas Jefferson said, "The government that governs best governs least," and it's not the federal government's concern what's, you know, happening locally in our communities. If a community is in need of something, it's philanthropists in that area. It's their responsibility to step up and do that. It's the local politicians' responsibility to figure out programs that community can get involved in to help itself.
Yeah, I mean, what a caller brought up that, you know, the federal government wasn't helping local communities. But what about our guest who was saying the president is so focused on the terrorist threat that nothing's being done regarding global warming and all these other major issues that the federal government supposedly should have a role in?
Well, personally, I think that global warming is a joke. But I know that that's, you know, a very unpopular thought right at the moment. You know, yeah, maybe there is a little bit too much focus. At the same time, it's something that, you know, several years ago, pretty much the entire country agreed was an issue that we needed to address. We got involved in that issue, and now it's a commitment that we need to see through to the end. It's unpopular. It's not necessarily going the way America would like, that's for sure. But, you know, George Bush didn't just jump in there on his own, you know, fruition. It was, you know, he was doing what the rest of the country, you know, wanted at that point in time. Yeah. And now it's our responsibility to stand behind him and see it through to the end.
Now, Professor Bonfiglio.
Well, I think we should stand behind anybody until they prove themselves unworthy, and I think the president has done that. He got us into this war. It was a war that was sold, not that was needed. Remember, it wasn't the 9/11 perpetrators. Most of them were Saudis. They were not Iraqis. And the 9/11 Commission proved that, stated that over and over again. But the president and Dick Cheney also just kept promoting, saying that it was Saddam Hussein, that was the problem. The other thing is that we've got to remember that the reason why we're fighting this war is oil. The peace activists said that before the war started, and Fed Chairman, or former Fed Federal Reserve Chairman Greenspan said it recently, and also one of the generals had just mentioned that. It's all about oil, and oil is what we are fighting the war for. It is not about democracy and freedom. That is just a story that's made up and has been used not just by this president, but by all our presidents in the 20th century, going way back to Roosevelt. So we need to understand that we are running out of oil, that we want more, and that we couple this with what we call our freedom to go wherever we want to go. You know, and I mean, I like my car. It's convenient, but it's also very costly in that we have to fight wars to get the oil that we need.
Russ in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Russ.
Good morning, Joy, and your guest, Olga. I have a remedy for 9/11 fatigue. It's maybe a little illusionary, but I believe the American people should go back to their history books and read about the ills of empire building, the egotistical downfalls of greed and corruption. Maybe then we could add to history books about empires of goodwill. That's my little comment for the day.
Yeah. Well, what's your comment on that?
Oh, absolutely. We do not know our history.
We. Yeah. All right.
That's an easy one. I would totally agree.
Harvin Washburn, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. My solution takes two routes. One is for some of the European countries to indict George Bush and then have him tried before The Hague as a war criminal. And failing that, then I think we have to ensure that he becomes the Abraham Lincoln of the 21st century.
Well, that's really uncalled for, Harvin. I'm not going to dignify that with any more response. Well, we're out of time, Olga. You're hoping maybe, though, that the president takes some more nature walks, and that might help.
By resigning first, though.
Thank you very much for being
with
us.
Thank you, Joy.
Olga Bonfiglio, a professor of education at Kalamazoo College in Michigan, author of Heroes of a Different Stripe, How One Town Responded to the War in Iraq, and she is the author of a piece that's on commondreams.org called 9/11 Fatigue. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour and for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.